This is Gulf Coast Live from WGCU. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Members of the Florida Gulf Coast University Jazz Combo are in WGCU's performance studio today, treating us to a live on-air performance. FGCU's Bauer School of Music includes the Jazz Ensemble, a performance group of usually about 20 students across all academic disciplines here at the university. And members of the Jazz Combo with us in studio today are considered the creme de la creme from the Jazz Ensemble. And the quartet performs at various events on campus, including the Celebration of Excellence ceremony. The FGCU Jazz Combo first performed on Gulf Coast Live nearly a year ago, and since then, the members of the group have changed, with the exception of percussionist Miguel Azcuy, who graduated this past spring. And joining him today are fellow musicians Isaiah Suriel on alto saxophone, Jose Cardero, who plays flute and piano, Stephen Giro on trumpet, and Jonathan Taylor on bass. Welcome all of you to Gulf Coast Live. Thanks for sharing your talents with us today.
Thanks for having us.
And we're also joined in studio by FGCU Bauer School of Music Professor Brandon Robertson. He's director of the FGCU Jazz Ensemble and Jazz Combo, as well as director of the FGCU Basketball Band. Robertson himself is an extraordinary bass player, currently performing with the Dan Miller Lou Delgado Quartet. Robertson's much-anticipated album, Based on a True Story, is set to come out early next year. His first album with the Zach Bartholomew Trio Out of This Town came out in 2012, and he's performed at a number of notable ensembles, events, and venues, including performances with the legendary Count Basie Orchestra, a performance at the world-famous Dizzy's Coca-Cola Club in New York, and he performed as part of the exclusive inaugural band for Governor Rick Scott back in 2011. He's also performed at a number of notable jazz festivals, both in and out of Florida, and he's also a hardworking advocate for music education. Over the last 7 years, he's taught jazz clinics, workshops, and master classes at K-12 schools throughout the state, and he taught at his alma mater's summer jazz camps for middle and high school students. That's at Florida State University. Robertson was also nominated for an Emmy Award for Best Documentary for Educational Collegiate Programs, which featured the FGCU Jazz Ensemble. Brandon Robertson, welcome back to the show.
How's everyone doing? Thank you.
And as always, we invite listeners to join the conversation. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And before we get into any Q&A portion of the show, I was hoping we could just kick things off with our first song. And before we start, can one of you just tell us what we're going to hear and maybe tell us a little bit about it by way of introduction?
Hi. So today we're going to be playing In Walked Bud by Thelonious Monk. And this was arranged from Frank Mantooth.
All right. Thank you. All right. If your foot's not tapping, you should check your pulse. We are joined in studio today by talented musicians of FGCU's Jazz Combo. We just heard them perform an arrangement of Thelonious Monk's tune, In Walked Bud. And the quartet is with us live on air for the hour, along with FGCU's Director of Jazz Studies, Brandon Robertson. And I wanted to start with you, Brandon.
Sure.
I did wax poetic about your accomplishments a moment ago, but tell me a bit about your early introductions to music and how you first came to take up the bass yourself.
Sure. So I began playing bass when I was 10 years old. I started in fifth grade, and my awesome bass teacher, Ms. Karen Bishop, she introduced me to the bass. I was the tallest kid in my music class at the time, so she asked me, she's like, did you want to play upright bass? And I was like, okay, sure. And I immediately gravitated to it, and I fell in love with it, and I just kind of stuck with it, and I ended up becoming the bass kid throughout middle school and high school. And from there, I just kind of knew that this was something that I wanted to do and as a career.
Tell me about finding jazz. Was that something you were studying initially? Because I imagine if it was through a school, there was maybe mm-hmm. a lot of orchestra involved as well, classical background.
So when I was in ninth grade, my band director in high school, Robert Griffin, he introduced me to jazz. He asked me to join a jazz ensemble. And at first, I was a little reluctant because I wasn't sure if I knew anything about jazz other than what my grandparents played around me. And he gave me my first jazz record, which was Miles Davis' Kinda Blue. And from there, I understood at that point. I was like, wow, I'd never heard the bass in this kind of setting other than from a classical standpoint. And so from there, I ended up going to the jazz camp when I was in high school at Florida State. And from there, I met Rodney Jordan, who ended up becoming my bass instructor when I went to college.
And at the point of your life when you came to embrace, the bass, not just as a hobby, but as a way of life, I mean, did you know that education was going to be an important component of that for you?
At that time, no, because I was strictly focusing on performing. And it wasn't actually until I graduated from undergrad and I realized that, okay, I can't just do performing all the time. I have to do something else because you have times where you're not performing. And I went to school for music, so I was like, well, I'll find a way to do that by teaching. And I actually worked at a local music store in Tallahassee. And from there, I was a guitar instructor. I taught beginner piano. I also taught a little bit of violin. And that's when I started to understand that, wow, music education is very important. So that's when I continued with the studies of teaching.
Gotcha. And you've already mentioned by name two of your early influential instructors, and of course, reaching out to, kids in K-12 schools is something that you've been doing as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you really kind of embrace that, starting kids early?
Yes. And I really believe that the earlier they start, the more involved they'll become later on. As I said before, I was 10 years old when I first started playing bass, and it was through my teacher who instilled in me the love of music first, and she always encouraged me to find my own sound and my own niche. So I like actually starting at the elementary, middle school level, because that's a very important time in those in children's lives where they're discovering themselves and they're trying to figure out, like, where do I fit in the world? And I think music really enhances that process.
And when it comes to the groups you're with here at FGCU directing, like the basketball band, the combo we have today, the jazz ensemble, can you just tell us a little bit about each of those groups and, where listeners could catch their performances?
Sure. So if you would like to see the FGCU basketball band, I direct both the men and women's band. So we perform at all the home games here in Alico Arena. And so our ASUN Conference starts on January 5th versus Liberty, and throughout January and February, we'll be playing all the home games, and then you can see the post-tournament games which I know we will, we win. You can still see the band here on campus. Our jazz ensemble, we have our first spring concert on Sunday, February 10th. At the Bowers School of Music in the Utobe Hall. And we actually have guest artist Dan Miller, who will be performing with us on that concert.
And you play in a group with Dan Miller now.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I play in his quartet with Lou Delgado and Tony Vigilante on drums. We play every Thursday night at the Barrel Room from 7 to 10 p.m. in downtown Fort Myers.
Oh, that is a great venue. I love going out to shows there. And, you know, I mentioned earlier also, you were nominated for an Emmy Award for a documentary that actually features the FGCU Jazz Ensemble. Tell me about this documentary.
Yes. So, actually, I want to go ahead and give credit to Jasmine and Tim, who work for the media department here. They're the ones that actually put the video together, and we came up with an idea to kind of showcase our ensembles here on campus. And from that video, we were able to reach a large mass of people, and because of that large viewings that we got from the video, it was actually submitted to the Emmy committee, and that's how it was nominated. I was very excited about that because I was very proud of them that they were actually able to put something together that really showcased what FGCU is all about and what we have to offer at the Bauer School of Music.
Excellent, excellent. And your own album coming out, I understand that actually Devastation from Hurricane Michael has actually sort of delayed that schedule a little bit.
Yes, so due to the hurricane, there were some issues with the recording of part of the record, but now since it is going to be fixed, the record is still scheduled to be released in the springtime, and it's based on a true story, based BASS Pottery D, and that'll be released in spring of 2019, and it's just a time capsule of my life and what I've done from the time I started college up until present day here at FGCU.
All right. So, I mean, I imagine you've got other musicians, you know, on these recordings.
Yes.
The title, you know, definitely makes it sound like this is going to be showcasing your virtuosity.
Yes. So I'm really excited about the lineup. I have Lou Delgado. He's featured on the record. Trumpeter James Suggs, pianist Zach Bartholomew, and drummer Gerald Watkins Jr., the jazz studies director at FSU, Leon Anderson, and Mason Margit, who's another pianist, and the lovely, talented vocalist, Avis Berry.
All right. Well, let's go to the phones now. We have Victor on the line in Fort Myers. Victor, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I saw that Miguel Ascai was playing, and it said there that he was a graduate, so I was wondering why a graduate would be playing with the FGCU Jazz Combo.
Hey, thanks, Vic, for your call. I appreciate the kind words. I guess they can't get rid of me here. Yeah, I did graduate back in spring with a degree in health sciences. I'm actually a pre-med, so yeah, I'm really excited to be playing with these great guys. My first time playing with them, you know, and such a gig like this, so appreciate it.
Worth your while, Miguel.
Yeah, you got it. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Victor. Well, let's go ahead and hear our second song from the ensemble. And I'm sorry, the combo. Ensemble's a different group. Tell me what we're going to hear and maybe tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so this next tune is called Nardis, and it was performed by Miles Davis, but it was actually composed by Bill Evans, piano player.
All right.
Thank you.
right. The FGCU Jazz Combo is with us performing live in studio this hour of Gulf Coast Live, and we just heard the quartet performing Bill Evans' composition, Nardis, and FGCU's Director of Jazz Studies, Brandon Robertson, is with us as well. And as always, listeners can join the conversation. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. And Isaiah Suriel, since we've got you right up here at the mic, you play alto saxophone with the Jazz Combo. Tell me a little bit about yourself. I understand you're on track to graduate next year. What are you studying?
Yeah, so I'm actually studying music education, and I started back in the fall of 2015. When I first started playing saxophone, I actually started when I moved to St. Augustine, Florida, back in the eighth grade. I had moved from New York, and how that started was we were trying to figure out what to do as an extracurricular activity, because I had just moved from a different state, completely new, a fresh start, and I had no idea where to go. So the family that I was staying with, my sister, she had me try out for the middle school basketball team. So here I am now. My first band director at Passetti Bay Middle School back in St. Augustine, Florida, it was Charles Rankin. And when I started playing saxophone, I started to develop this ear where if I heard certain music, I was able to play it the exact same way, almost by rote. And so he did a little test for me, and he played all blues from Miles Davis from Kind of Blue album. And that's when he told me, like, you have a really special gift, like, use it, because you don't know how far it'll take you until you actually get to that point. So I was very grateful that he instilled that type of inspiration in me.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Like when we were talking with Brandon a moment ago, and he was talking about his initial, I guess for lack of a better word, I don't want to say reluctance, but being like, jazz, it's very different. But it's kind of sounds like with, you know, playing by ear the way you do, there was just sort of like a natural inclination towards playing improvisationally.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because when they gave me the choice to choose between different instruments, this is kind of funny to say. The reason why I picked saxophone was because I listened to a rendition of a song that Kenny G had played. And so ever since then, I fell in love with the saxophone. Like, its sound, the way that it can put itself in not just jazz, but classical and all other types of genres, such as hip-hop, funk, and everything else. And it sounds really nice. I love it.
Is it difficult to transition to other types of saxophones, or do you pretty much stick with the alto?
So there is a soprano saxophone, alto, which is what I'm playing on today.
Yes.
You have a tenor saxophone, which is slightly bigger, soprano being smaller than alto, and then you have baritone saxophone. And those are the four main ones. There's different types of ones. So sopranino is a little bit smaller than a soprano saxophone, but you get a higher register type of sound. And then you have a bass saxophone, which is huge. It's massive.
Yeah.
And it gets everything from the lower register sound, almost like what you would get from a double bass. It accomplishes that goal.
All right.
In terms of music.
And I also understand you're working with FGCU's art department on new and future projects. Is there anything that you can kind of give us a sneak peek about in that arena?
Yes. So previously, about 2 months ago, we worked with John Lasciuto in his art gallery, and we were working on an art exhibition project called Blind Date. And the artists that were involved were Neil Bender and Jen Ray. And so what they did was they approached the combo and asked us, they sent us a playlist of songs that they wanted to feature in their opening exhibition date. So what the combo did is we picked seven songs out of that 14 song playlist. And what our job was, we had to arrange all the pop songs in a jazz style. And with our interpretation, we brought it to the exhibition. And in turn, we delivered, and people caught a grasp of what that was. And it was held with such good recognition that they wanted us to come back and play for an exhibition like that again.
All right. And you're also, I understand, helping the Bauer School of Music here at FGCU become more, you know, integrated or implemented with the broader university here. Tell me about that, because I know even just in my own university experience, like the music school kids were, I don't want to say isolated, but they're going to be in the music building in the middle of the night performing. And, you know, you're not going to see kids in like a communication program sitting in their classroom at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
It's
so,
a bit different.
So it's very similar to that experience that you just told me. When you're passing by the parking lot that's right next to the Bauer School of Music and the art building, people have called us the fishbowl university, because there's a glass window pane and you see everything inside it, but there's no intention of going into that building, because you don't know what to expect, and two, that's not where you're going. You're going to the university. So in a sense, we're pretty much an island away from the university and off campus. So what we're trying to do, with the help of Professor Brennan Robertson, we're trying to integrate Bauer into campus and be able to collectively work with not just the campus itself, but with other organizations that ask us to play for them. So we're trying to see if we can play like over by the library lawn for like public recognition, as well as being involved in different events that they ask us to be a part of. That way, when people ask, oh, so you guys are from the jazz combo from the Bauer School of Music, are you guys having upcoming concerts? And we're like, sure, this is X and Y dates for where the John Ensemble perform, as well as different ensembles such as the Wind Orchestra, the Symphonic Band, the Symphony Orchestra, and the Chamber Choir and the University Choir groups. And they're all, we're trying to bring that in so that people will be able to come see us more, and more of the public will be able to watch us perform.
Absolutely. Showcase that talent and that hard work that's already happening.
Thank
Absolutely.
You. Thank you.
And what prompted you to pursue a degree in music education?
Well, there was a time in my life when I started back in eighth grade, and then I started to play music more when I went into Allen Dini Senior High School, which is over in Ponte Vedra, Florida. There was an individual, very wise man, who is one of my mentors. He goes by the name of Salvatore Iropoli, and he had also noticed the gift where I was able to listen to music by ear, and he started working me closely, like as soon as I was the ripe age of 12. And he had me start helping the other middle school kids who were up and coming musicians, so it would be part of a community group, and it would be in a community outlet, and it was completely free. It would charge none of the kids. It was all based on volunteer work and out of the goodness of his heart. And so there was a day when I was helping with the students get ready for their concerts or put on their own performance at this community outlet. And then one day he took me aside, and he said something that I will never forget to this day, that I still carry with me. And he said, There's going to be people who judge you based on how you play, on how you carry yourself, and what you bring to the table. You always have to bring a sense of humbleness when you play for any type of music and in front of any group, because with humbleness, there's a sense of a positive type of pride, not the pride where you think that you're the best at what you do, but a sense of pride where you're proud of the work that you've done.
Yeah.
And it becomes, and you start to build this relationship with other musicians where it's not a sort of competition to see who the best musician is on that particular gig or performance or whatever ensemble you're a part of. Because at that moment in time, your goal as a musician, you want to work together to bring out the best product possible. And that's the type of feeling that I try to bring to whatever performance I become part of, especially like with these guys.
Yeah.
Without one person, you're missing a segment of the combo itself. Like without the piano player, you won't have a piano sound that's helping comping everything. Without a bass, you won't have the low voice. Without the drum set, you'll lose an integral part of that rhythm section. Without any of the horns, you lose either the melody or the color of the tune that's whatever being performed. And all that is important. And that's what I love about playing music.
Absolutely. Well said, Isaiah.
Thank you.
We have a phone call from Jack right now. Jack, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for calling.
I have a question for trumpeter Stephen. When I was learning where the combo sounded yesterday, I wanted to know: is there somebody that you look to or listen to, like in the jazz professional world, of how to hold your playing, like how to interpret things, and how to stylistically make things your own?
Sorry, Jack, can you ask that question one more time?
Yeah,
the signal was a little
in
and out.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was basically just asking, is there somebody that you listen to that influences how to play your music?
Absolutely. There's numerous trumpet players all throughout jazz history, even local musicians around the area that I love listening to, and I always try to emulate their tone, their style, and their sound the best that I can. And it's more about listening to as many musicians as possible, really, because as a trumpet player, you'd think that I would want to listen to a lot of trumpet players, but really, I listen to a lot of saxophone players. I even listen to a lot of pianists and trombone players, and it's all about really, really listening to as many musicians as you can to kind of blend all of their styles into your own, to kind of find your own sound.
Mm-hmm. Well, and thanks so much for the call, Jack. Appreciate the question.
And awesome answer.
All right. And Stephen, while we've got you at the mic, let's just keep you here for a minute.
Sure.
You're also pursuing a music education degree.
Yes, I am.
What's prompted you to go down that career path?
I've been playing trumpet since the sixth grade, as typically how every middle school musician starts in sixth grade band class. And actually, trumpet was actually my third option. You know, my band director at the time at Cypress Palm Middle School down in Naples, Florida, Mr. Paxson Rowan, he had us all try many different types of instruments. And right away, I knew that I fell in love with brass playing at a really early age, listening to John Williams scores from movies and listening to a lot of Miles Davis. And one trumpet player in particular, who, in my opinion, just has the most golden crystallized tone I've ever heard in my life. His name is Rick Braun. And it was learning all this type of music and throughout my musical journey that I realized that I wanted to teach it, that I wanted to kind of pass on the gift of music and what it's like to learn and play different types of music and overall becoming a better human in the process. And I would love to continue on in my music education degree to continue teaching and learning at the same time, learning from different teachers, mentors, as well as my students.
And do you have other music projects you're involved with now outside of the jazz combo?
Currently, no.
All right, but we can look forward to stuff in
the
future.
Yes, absolutely. Sometime in the future, absolutely.
I don't know, people don't always like to toot their own horn, but I'm going to ask you to do that figuratively. You're a Louis Armstrong Jazz Award recipient. Tell us about this accolade and what
it means. Well, the Louis Armstrong Jazz Award is a high school jazz award across the country that not every high school does it. They have the Louis Armstrong Jazz Award, the John Philip Sousa Award, many different types of awards for the uprising high school musicians in high school. And it was my meticulous practice of jazz that earned me that award. In high school, I was a compulsive practicer, and I practiced every chance I could, sometimes even between classes and the five-minute break. I always had a mouthpiece in my pocket, buzzing around school. I always did little lip air exercises, and I tell you, I look pretty weird walking around campus doing all that, but you know what? It all paid off in the end.
It pays off, right.
Every lunch hour, also, I would always post up either in a corner in the band room or some type of secluded room, like a storage room. And I had this app that is useful to every jazz musician out there. If you're listening, get this app. It's called the iReel Pro app. And shameless plug. it's great for listening and learning tunes, like the chord changes. And basically what I would do was I would plug in my headphones to my phone, play a backing track. I always had the book in front of me, like different lead sheets, and I would learn tunes. I would improv over them, and sometimes even I would have a crowd of students gather around me because I would just be just jamming in the middle of the band room.
All right. Excellent, excellent. Well, let's go ahead and hear another song from the combo.
Absolutely.
One of you tell me what we're going to hear and tell me a little bit about it.
Yes, well, this next tune is entitled Meditation by the great Latin jazz composer Antonio Carlos Jobim. And it's slightly different from the previous tunes that we played today, which have been more swing-oriented, but this is a Latin jazz bossa nova.
All right. Thank you. deliciously smooth there. That was the FGCU Jazz Combo performing an Antonio Jobim composition titled Meditation. And the quartet is performing live in studio for today's edition of Gulf Coast Live. We're also joined in studio by FGCU's Director of Jazz Studies, Brandon Robertson. I'm going to invite Jose Cordero up to the microphone now. He's playing piano with us today, keys, and he also plays the flute and also a senior at FGCU. So first of all, just tell me, if you had to choose one, piano or flute, could you?
Oh, that's a hard decision. but yes, I would have probably chosen the flute.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you're initially, did you gravitate towards the jazz genre when you first started playing music, or did that come to you later on?
It came later on. I actually was born and raised in Colombia, so jazz in the city where I was born, it wasn't that much popular. Not many people knew jazz.
Yeah.
And so it's all thanks to my brother who went to this jazz workshop, and when he came back, he just showed me all of this. And so jazz was sort of like this new thing for me, the concept of improvisation and that you can just improvise instead of what you just see in regular music and classical music. You have to play what's written. So
right.
That sort of got me into jazz.
And you've performed twice at Carnegie Hall. Tell us that story.
Yes. Once was in high school, thanks to the band director, Benny Boulder, at the time. Such a great music influence in my life. But yes, we had the opportunity to go to Carnegie Hall. That was sort of like a competition in high school where we had like judges in the hall. And the second time it was with the FGCU Wind Orchestra. And both of those times were just an experience that's unique. Whether you're in the audience or you're as a performer, being in the hall, it's just an unforgettable experience.
Yeah, it's really a beautiful place.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and what do you hope to do with your music education degree?
Yes, I would hope to teach either elementary music or middle school. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
And I'm going to bring our bass player up here as well. We're going to hear from Jonathan Taylor. And he's coming on up to the microphone. It takes a little more when you're holding an instrument like the bass there.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah. So you play both the upright and the electric bass.
That's correct. I do.
Tell me about your introductions into music and kind of how you found your way to jazz.
Well, I actually started in middle school, sixth grade, of course. Not unlike most people, I'm sure.
Sure.
But I actually started learning on the oboe.
That's quite a departure.
Yeah I'll say. at Diplomat Middle School in Cape Coral.
All right.
But under the director of Mrs. Mann, a very good teacher. So I learned oboe in sixth grade. And then, of course, that's more classical, as you expect. And then with bass, I wanted to be in the jazz band, but, of course, oboe isn't a jazz instrument. My dad was a guitar player, you know, back in the day.
Sure.
And he also had a bass, and so I wanted to learn a bass, so I picked up his. And I learned that summer, and I auditioned by the end of the summer for the middle school jazz band, and I got in. And it was a fun process. I got one of the red Standards of Excellence books that everybody knows about.
Oh, yeah. Well, I understand that as far as your formal academic study here at FGCU, you're looking more in a health sciences direction than an actual music direction. So what are you pursuing a degree in?
Well, I'm pursuing a degree in a Bachelor's of Science in nursing. And, I would, of course, like to eventually become a nurse. But I'm thinking about minoring in music on the side as well. But my mom was a nurse for, I think, 37 or so years now, critical care nurse. And, I got a lot of inspiration from her as well. And, I've had a lot of, things to help me along the way. But I especially started getting into the healthcare because I got into a job with Heart Central at Lee Health. And, of course, you look at all the heart monitors, an exciting job. to say the least. But it's what it is, you know. But it's a good first step, and that's all it takes, you know. But I'm really looking forward to these next couple years, though, because I'm going to be applying for the School of Nursing this March or so, or this upcoming March, and hopefully I get in and I can get started with those classes.
And so in addition to, you know, your academic, everything you have to do with school and working with Lee Health and then the jazz combo, and you also, do I understand you build instruments as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, because a luthier, that's a totally different skill set. That's amazing.
Yeah. I don't know what it was. It was like one day over the summer, I just had the idea to, well, actually, no, it wasn't just me. I got some inspiration from, of course, Jaco Pastorius, and I always feel like I pronounced the last name wrong, but because he originally took the frets off his bass, and of course, I thought, you know, that'd be cool if he can do it, you know, I can do it too, and so I got first I got a $50 bass off eBay, and I got like a, you know, cheap fret pullers, and I just pulled the frets out and filled the holes with wood filler, and that was my first bass I worked on. And then recently I got a bass kit online for, it was like $106, so, you know, these are all pretty low priced things, but now of course I made a bass, I painted it purple and gold, I thought it'd be cool, you know.
Yeah.
It's not something you see every day, and that's kind of what I wanted, you know, something that would stick out. Kind of looks like the Prince guitar, as everybody tells me.
Excellent. Well, fascinating how broad spectrum of talents you have here. And I want to bring Miguel up here for a moment.
Thank you.
Because, yeah, thank you so much. Miguel, you know, like your bass player here, you're also pursuing a degree in the health, or
yeah.
You have a degree in the
yeah,
health
yeah,
sciences.
Yeah, I already graduated. Yeah. So I graduated with a degree in health sciences. And I'm actually applying to physician assistant programs across the state of Florida and also in Philadelphia with DeSales University, which is a private Catholic university.
Interesting.
So So I'm, you know, in period now, which is kind of the worst part of the whole process. But hopefully, you know, I get in. So
excellent. And do you see any connections between, you know, music and music performance and, you know, the health sciences?
And health sciences, I would say more in the job aspect, you know, the job performance aspect, like especially where I work at a gastroenterology associates, and I find that adaptability is a very, you know, useful skill to have, you know, because I kind of go between, you know, different duties at work, and it's nice because in jazz too, you know, improvisation is a big thing, you know,
yeah.
And really, you know, with any musician, if you can adapt, you'll always work. So, and I feel like too, with being a physician assistant, like you have that freedom to go to any specialty you want, you know, you're not tied down necessarily. So, I mean, if you want to go into one specialty and 3 years later you want to change, you know, you have that freedom. So I find a lot of that, you know, there's a lot of connections between what I want to do and what I do as a hobby.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought of those connections.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we're about running out of time, but we're going to have time for one more song. So while we're preparing for that last song, I just want to say that we've been listening to the Florida Gulf Coast University Jazz Combo. It's been a great hour. We've been speaking with and hearing from music from the members, and that includes Isaiah Suriel on alto saxophone, Jose Cordero on piano, Miguel Azcoy on drums, Stephen Giro on trumpet, and Jonathan Taylor on bass. Gentlemen, it's been a real treat. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.
Also, thanks to FGCU's Director of Jazz Studies, Emmy-nominated Brandon Robertson, for taking the time as well. His album, titled Based on a True Story, is set for release early next year. That is, again, all the time we have. Our show was produced by Mike Canary and myself. Our director is Richard Cinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, I'm John Davis. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO, Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida. And take it away, guys.